there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with the Dish, except no substitute. This is John Katsalamidis. I write for Greenspun Media Group. That's Las Vegas Sun, Las Vegas Weekly, Vegas Magazine. What else? Las Vegas Magazine. And the Sunday coming up, the new weekly news magazine you can find all over town. It's made its debut. Hello, Trish McCrone.
Hi.
My lovely co-host.
Thank you. I'm all winded now.
I know.
You had so much to do. I just got back from Sundance.
Sundance, which is a film festival.
Yes. It was the first time. I can't believe the first time I ever went.
Yeah, I've never been to Sundance.
It is so much fun. It is... It's strange how all of these people flock to this tiny little town. And I mean, and people, it's really hard. They don't have many hotels, which is strange. So it's like people are renting houses. A lot of people, I think, leave. People rent houses. The lodge I was in was actually in Deer Valley, I think it was, which is about 10 minutes away, but they have shuttles. But I met and saw a lot of interesting things. It was a lot of fun. I was, of course, there with Wayne Newton.
Yes, your brother-in-law.
Yes, and the people from Guggenheim
were there. How do you guys know the people from Guggenheim? You say the people from Guggenheim, everybody knows what Guggenheim is, but how are you connected to them exactly? How do you know those people?
Kat and Wayne met them. Kat and Wayne Newton. Yes, they met them. I'm not really sure how it all came about, but it was very, very nice.
Are they Montana people?
No. It was, I think they met them in New York or at some sort of an event. Okay. And Scott, the head of the L.A. version of Guggenheim Partners, they were involved with the Rory Kennedy film that premiered there. That was Last Days of Vietnam. And so they were involved with that. So we had did a lot of things.
I was around the Kennedys a lot,
which was very cool. And Natasha Bedingfield is somehow associated with them as well. Okay. So that was cool to be with her. But it was very cool. My first night when I went to Billboard Live, which is they have a lot of like a lot of club things at night that people do, and people were going crazy over Cascade that was coming in, and I'm like, okay, he's like every week in Vegas.
I saw a billboard for him.
It's so weird that it's like, you know, so many things we take for granted. Everyone's like, oh my God, we have to be there tomorrow night for Cascade. I'm like, okay, that's like every other week in Vegas. But we're very lucky for the people that are into EDM. Like, I mean, we definitely are kind of the mecca of EDM. But it was all of a sudden I'm standing in line, all of a sudden I'm like, Ronnie Vannucci? Well, I'm not really standing, I'm waiting to get in. And there's Ronnie Vannucci from The Killers.
Right.
Who used to be a Vegas resident, who has moved.
He has moved to San Francisco, is he not?
Yes.
Ronnie?
And also has a place in Park City, he said, him and his wife.
They're out of Las Vegas, so.
I know. I'm like, you're the Killers.
Ronnie, they did their first rehearsals as the Killers on this campus in the band room at UNLV.
Wow.
The Killers, yeah. And Ronnie set it up.
He was a great guy. So I hung out with him for a while. I met one of the Jackson's Rebe's son. I was hanging out with a lot there. And it was just a really cool, very... Steve Garvey and his family. I mean, it was a very fun, eclectic thing, but it was crazy. Tao, which of course we have here in Vegas, and it's in New York. I think it's just New York and Vegas as of right now that has a Tao.
Yeah, that I know of. Mm.
They literally took a parking garage and turned it into the hottest club that was open till 4 a.m.
Wow.
It was a parking garage.
You don't go to Tao in Las Vegas.
I know I don't, which is so weird. And I ran into all these people that I knew, which is so bizarre that's right. I run into people there and you will never see me in a nightclub really here unless there's a very special reason for it.
Yeah, there has to be an event going on.
Tao's in
New York and in Las Vegas.
But we actually made news. Well, I didn't. Wayne did. It was very, very funny. We were walking out. They were walking out of Billboard. I stayed, of course. I stayed a little bit longer. And there were some people, women, the Garveys and my sister and blah, blah, blah. And so the car, you really can't stop on Main Street. You have to keep pulling around.
Right.
So the car wasn't there. And Candace Garvey and my sister's purses and coats were in the car with the driver that was kind of assigned to them. So Wayne said, well, you know, let's just go and have everybody sitting in a cab. You know, you ladies, because you don't have your coats and that, so you don't get cold. So they sat in the cab for not even 5 minutes. And Wayne, being the gentleman that he is, and, you know, obviously Mr. Las Vegas, gives the guy a $100 tip for just not moving, for letting them sit there for less than 5 minutes so that the car could pull back around.
Right.
And it somehow made Page Six.
And that's the gossip.
The gossip column
in the
New York Post.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and so it's so funny that it was like all of a sudden, like how they're like Wayne and his five dates. I'm like, I'm sure Steve Garvey loves hearing that he's a fifth date, but it showed Vegas represented. They were saying a lot of the Hollywood types don't pay, they don't tip, they just take the taxis for granted during Sundance, and that it took. The only person that really was the big class act, they said, was Mr. Las Vegas. So representing his city very well.
It doesn't surprise me one bit. It doesn't surprise me at all that he did that. Well, it's good that I've been to Park City, but not for Sundance in my life. And another Vegas connection, and we've talked about, is that Trevor Groth is the director of programming at that festival, and he was the one who worked at Cinevegas for years here in Las Vegas. Yeah. And was the director of program. He had a dual roles in Sundance and here in Las Vegas, and those are some great times when we had the film festival here, and Trevor helped put on a great show and was great covering, and we spent a lot of time with him over every year over a 10-day period. It was very intense, and then you never saw those guys until they came back into town again. But it just sounds like a really cool thing.
It was. Yeah. I met the guys from the Melbourne Film Festival were actually in the shuttle with me, so I met a lot of really cool
next
people
frontier.
In Australia. You know, it was like I met a lot of really cool, amazing people, and the wonderful people with Guggenheim had set up a lot of nice things for us, including the Rory Kennedy film and all of that. It was an exceptional time. I wish I felt better because I still wasn't in the weather. But I mean, I guess my wobbling around, I looked like a lot of the drunk people with my balance issues. But then we went to Nevada Ballet Black and White Ball.
We
you invited
black
me.
White, black and
I
white
was your plus one.
Black and white
date.
Gala. Yes, that was really fun. We got to talk to and meet Florence Henderson. And she was the honoree this year, and it was a great time. More than 500 people. They raised about $300,000 that night, not including $1 million donation from the Wynn Family Trust that is presided over by Elaine Wynn. And all this is going to go to help support one of our great community companies and artistic organizations. That's Nevada Ballet Theater, and James Canfield is the artistic director there. So if you ever have a chance to catch a performance or donate to those folks, they do a great job, and they've been around since 1972 in some form or another, started by a bunch of showgirls at Follies.
Wow.
Vasily Sulich and a bunch of showgirls
at
Follies.
I did not know that.
That's how, that was the first original version of this of NBT. Anyway, speaking of graceful movements... We have the president of the Las Vegas Wranglers returning to tell us all about what's going on with his home facility, or as much as he can.
It's been a lot happening with the Wranglers.
Yes. We're coming in on a big deadline next week, and here to update us is one of our favorite guests, one of our favorite people, Billy Johnson, president of the Wranglers. So stick around. I know we will.
Viva Las Vegas! Viva!
This is Wayne Newton, and if you're not listening to Cats with the Dish... I'm gonna knock you on your ass, pal.
Welcome back. Joining us now is a frequent guest of Cats with the Dish. And one of Dish's favorites. And a man who's been in the news a lot over the last month or so. Billy Johnson, president of the Las Vegas Wranglers. Welcome back, Billy.
Thank you. Thanks to the live studio audience.
So basically, what you been up to? I'm just kidding. How was your vacation?
my motorcycle got an oil change.
There you go.
You don't own a motorcycle, do you?
I do.
Have you been writing your second book?
Book, yeah, lots of new interesting characters for this one.
Lots of free time on your hands,
lots
you know.
Of free time. Gardening is great.
So, for those who have been living in a bubble or are just not paying attention,
or in a tent,
we have been. you were on the show about a month ago when the whole thing started with the Wranglers, and let's kind of just give a little recap for those who don't know.
Well, the recap is we lost our home,
right?
At the Orleans Arena.
At that place over there. And
December 14th.
Yeah, around December 14th. And we were given essentially 5-6 weeks to solve the problem, to find a new place to play. Excuse me, I'm getting so
You're
worked
getting
up
beclumped.
About it. I'm so worked up over this. So we were given 5 or 6 weeks to sort of solve the problem because we had an ECHL deadline to commit to the league so that the rest of the arenas in the country could schedule and all of that. And that deadline was January 20th, essentially. And since we've spoken, we've gotten a 2-week extension, which gets us to next Wednesday.
Yay, which was, of course, the league not wanting to lose you gave you the extension, correct?
Yes, and we were able to show them that we had three options that we could figure out and activate. So their confidence was high that we would have something by...
Because it's Billy Johnson.
That's exactly right.
How much of that seriously plays into this? Is your own
personal credibility with the other league officials? If you have to have some kind of verification other than your Billy Johnson, right, to show them.
I have a driver's license that says I am.
Your library
and a
card.
Certificate. Right?
Boyd Gaming Players Club card.
Getting all the free six packs of Pepsi I could possibly muster.
That also expires on
and
expires
your Chuck-a-Puck
on January 20th.
Situation.
The reputation
what do you have
of
to
the
give
team.
To them? What yeah. do you have to? Okay.
Yeah. The mm-hmm. reputation of the team, the reputation of the owner, our 11 years running here, the fan support since
your wonderful owner, whose name is
Gary Jacobs.
We cannot say that enough.
And amazing, Gary Jacobs. If you say it three times in a darkened restroom, a ghost appears over your shoulder.
Really?
I think is that no. I'm getting that confused.
Will
with
he find
else.
Me a new residence if I do it?
Yeah, that's maybe. The story of Green Lantern, I think. But anyway, so you have satisfied that requirement from the league. You have until next week
to come up with a definitive offer. A memorandum of understanding, which
okay.
says that lawyers have looked at
that's
terms.
That's a big word. That's a big mm-hmm. statement there.
I
that's,
know.
That's legal terminology.
But that
Johnson.
Doesn't, in and of itself, yeah. I know this about memorandums of understanding, it doesn't, in and of itself, mean that that deal will be enacted.
No,
necessarily.
That's not
right?
a final agreement, mm-hmm. but it's a pretty strong
okay.
Thing.
Let me understand the understanding.
Okay.
So, in other words, it's pretty much, is it kind of like a promise ring that a girl would get that is like, we're going to get engaged, which I think is kind of a cop-out, by the way, boys.
Yeah,
but
all right.
Is it like that?
I guess in the land of Macrone, it probably is.
Where there's no arena being built on the land of Macrone.
It's Macrone Island.
Macrone Island.
I don't know. I've got a nice pool we could freeze.
But seriously, folks. So now you're going to deliver this to the league officials by next week.
Once we have it, we will deliver okay. it by next Wednesday.
So where are we now? What is happening right now that you can tell us about?
As you said on Fox 5 last week, as these things typically go, as you get closer to getting memorandums of understanding and legal documents that. Less news starts to, you know, the news mm-hmm. really gets cut off. And mm-hmm. So we're at the point that the silence is probably very good news because there's not a lot to talk about. People are working out of our hands now on these types of things, and we're waiting on other people to do what they need to do.
Okay, mm-hmm. well, Katz and I
uh-huh.
were at the Black and White Ball. Yes.
Oh, Nevada Ballet
the
Theater.
The Nevada Ballet Theater honoring mm-hmm. Mrs. Brady Florence Henderson.
Hootie hootie.
And mm-hmm. because, you know, Katz has kind of become the Wrangler press guy in a way because he's like Mr. Knows-It-All.
He
kind
does,
of.
Yeah.
yeah. We had people like throwing out ideas at us. It was kind of fun.
This did happen
I was
going to
start taking mm-hmm. wagers. It was going to be fun.
No kidding.
People approached me asking
you,
and telling me.
Yes, let me tell you what was given.
Okay, yeah. love to hear
this
as the thing.
She's right about
the first person said that they heard that there was going to be a tent at Silverton.
These are people who know the community.
Yes.
Oh, really?
These are not random people.
Yeah,
these are people that were in the private party.
What
you do,
yeah.
they know resorts, they know sports, arenas, all this. They know
was
the media.
Is that the guy in the Volkswagen following
exactly.
me over here?
And the other person who I believe happened, it was not, no, sorry, it was not a husband and wife, it was somebody totally different, said that they believed that it was going to be the MGM properties, that it was going to be between a couple MGM properties. Might any of these be the promise ring that we've been referring to earlier?
They might and they might not. How about that?
this begs the conversation begs to
can I hear that sigh again? You sound very frustrated.
MGM comes into play because they have two arenas in place. They have one on the way.
Mm-hmm.
They have an interest in having a major league sports team in residence in that new arena at some point, 22,000 to 24,000, whatever the seating capacity is. So it would behoove them to have something professional sports wise in their collection of arenas, in one of them or both of their arenas. Now, the Silverton, as we know, the president of that hotel is Craig Cavalier, who's involved in the UNLV arena here on this campus for a while until they weren't. He knows a lot about the climate here in Las Vegas. This speculation is not just speculation. This is pretty educated assessments. How do you deal with this? I know you can't say much, but how do you deal with this in a public way when people are very hopeful that the Wranglers are going to work a deal at least possibly with one of those two entities?
Yeah, well, first of all, let me say either one of those options would be terrific. I'll say that. They would both be great. I think everybody involved with those organizations, their intentions would be a philosophical match with ours. How do I deal with it? Just remember that, you know, my job is to save it, not kill it. And, you know, I'm true to that. You know, if I said anything prematurely, I'd probably violate whatever agreements with whomever we're talking with and to. Mm-hmm. And if it kills the deal, then it would be on my head that I ran the Wranglers out of town instead of what the story would have been 4 weeks ago.
And I'll tell you, you didn't have a tell. When I said both of those, because it is radio, you did not have a tell. I was looking for some sort of a poker tell that, like, maybe, like, you know, your pupils would dilate or something, or you would touch your hat or something would happen. You gave no tell. So I you're very no good tell. At keeping these secrets.
Except for the moment when he pinched the bridge of his nose and did the cut me sign.
Except for when I said one and you gave a thumbs up. No, I'm kidding. He didn't.
No, that's true.
There was no tell. There
except
was no
for when
tell.
I actually stood up and walked out of the room and now you're left talking to my robot.
Exactly.
We've rendered him mute. Now, Billy, let's talk conceptually here, not about specifics, but about conceptually about the type of place you want to put the Wranglers over time. Okay. Uh-huh. This is a team that is a professional franchise. It's the ECHL is considered, it's the AA level of professional hockey, right?
That's correct.
Now, there's a certain, you need a place to play. We all know that. But at what point do you start discarding ideas simply because the quality of what's being offered, even for a one-year basis, isn't to your standards? I mean, are we talking, is a tent, when you think of a temporary facility, a tent-like facility, is that good enough for the Wranglers even on a one-year basis?
Yeah, I think there's two ways to look at it. You have the fan component and the fan experience. When it comes to programming, we're very good at that. Remember, the fans are always facing in the same direction. They're looking at the ice.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They're not looking mm-hmm. behind them. They're not looking up, you know, and whatever. You want restrooms to be clean for mothers. You want, you know, all that, right? So you want all that stuff. That stuff's pretty manageable. So when it comes from the fan experience, we'll program it. I've seen a lot of Springsteen shows and not great buildings. I'm watching the show, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll put on a good show. The professional part comes down to the treatment of our athletes. These guys are professional hockey players, and you have to treat the visiting team well. You have to give them a safe mm-hmm. place to be, a comfortable place to be. Locker rooms are a big issue.
Right.
Unless it's the visiting team during a midnight game, then we might turn the hot water off occasionally.
And the Orleans?
That's a joke. I'm kidding.
Well, who was the team that tore up the Orleans? Was it Idaho Stampede? That
somebody.
One?
The
Steelheads that year?
1 year, somebody
Yeah, in the
did.
Playoffs? Yeah. Because even when you do provide everything, they can still be a little persnickety.
But I got a nice bill for that.
Yeah. I remember this about 3 years ago or so.
Well, they were then definitely... Definitely my pool is out because I don't have enough locker rooms.
Right. Yet. But yeah. Negotiate it in.
Basically enough, you have 18 shower heads.
I do. Yes, I do. Whoa, okay.
But only one tap. Now, the Orleans has been very good about this part of it, in supplying amenities for the athletes, right? Mm-hmm. That's a good model for what you want. Yeah,
sure. Yeah,
right.
I mean, it's a great building. It was mm-hmm. built for a professional team, obviously, because you look at our locker room facilities and weight room, and it's all there. You know, it's everything that we need. but that stuff can be modular, you know, on mm-hmm. a temporary basis. But in the long term, you know, you want the guys to feel like they're home. You know, home is home, right?
Yeah,
so you want to feel.
But
good.
I mean, I would also think that they would understand. Let's say if again, not saying it would be, but let's say it is a situation where you bounce from a couple different venues. That they would understand that as well. That wouldn't be a big deal.
Let me tell you, the players with this team, I mean, they're the least of my concerns. I've spoken to the guys in the locker room about what's going on, keeping them posted. They do not care. They love this organization. They love playing in Las Vegas. You know, they understand that whatever we come up with, you know, saves the team. And that's the least of our concern, you know, for the next season.
Now, what has this last month been like? I know that you have gotten a lot of press, obviously. You've mm-hmm. been everywhere, but and also a lot of support from the city. But, I mean, personally, for you and for your owner, what is... I can't imagine what you've been through in this time. What has this been like?
It's probably... It has been my career highlight, regardless of what the outcome could have been.
Highlight, even if everything unravels.
Even with all the stress and even with all the...
Yeah. I mean, it's very rare where you work in our business, particularly in the minor leagues, where people kind of look at you as something less than human, you know, for the uninformed fan, right? The uninformed observer. It's very rare where you get the opportunity to see people have time to tell you what they think of the work that you've done over 11 years. So regardless of how this could have turned out negatively or positively, this has been my career highlight. It's been a wonderful experience. Exhausting, mm-hmm. for sure. You know, I'm sitting here and mm-hmm. not shaved, wearing a hat today, you know, just running out of time. But a career highlight for sure. It's been unbelievably
just because
warm.
Of the support and
yeah.
everything you got?
I mean, support has been unreal.
You had to come up with some sort of coherent and cohesive media strategy, really, on the fly, didn't you, for this? How to explain your position as you, not only to put it to craft what that message is, but to enact it yourself.
That's right.
Now, that's not easy to do, is it? I mean, you had to really do some fast thinking and some real hard work really quickly on this, didn't you?
I did. But, you know, I tell you, the thing that makes it easy is the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have nothing to hide and you have a simple story to tell and then you have a need and you have strategy points, it's very easy to tell the truth. You know, you don't have to worry about what you said yesterday on the air or anything like that. So that's the hardest part is having your message. And if the message is truth, that's easy. Mm-hmm. We did have a number of reasons to come out the way we did on the story you broke, John, on New Year's Eve. And a lot of them were very proactive reasons. One of them was, I can't call enough people. You know, so if we get this story out there and the story is full and total and it's truthful, then people will be able to call us, which is exactly what happened. Our fans needed to hear it from us and not through some announcement, through talking points that someone else wanted us to agree to. Mm-hmm. They had to hear what
your landlord, in other words.
Our landlord wanted us to have their talking points, and that they weren't necessarily accurate, and it's something that our fan base...
You corrected that, and we discussed that last time on it. That you didn't basically have a choice in negotiations. It was just that was a false statement saying that you guys negotiated. You were not given the opportunity to negotiate.
That's exactly right. So, once you have truth on your side and it's an easy story to tell, and then particularly if you have a need, it gets very easy to do this very quickly. So maybe we get a little too much credit for that, but. It worked exactly as we needed it to work. Our fans needed to know that if we save the team next year, things are going to be different. The facility won't be as beautiful as the Orleans Arena is. And that was part of our message, too, through this whole thing.
So now, last time when you were here, you said that going dark is not an option.
Right.
Do you still feel that way?
Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely. And it's even more so because all the...
Now it's been another four weeks since then.
It's just ballooned.
When will you be making this announcement on the future?
As quickly as we can. I think our fans need it. I personally need it. My phone blows up from media, 20 times a day.
Well, at this airing, Billy, we're going to be in the third period of your home game, your first home game back.
And we're up 3-1 right now. And you're winning.
There's a face-off in the corner, as I like to say.
Wait, air ball.
We're there. We're rooting you on.
There's a fight.
Another fight.
Darn it.
And then there's one on the ice. No. But I know that you've said that you wanted to sort of use that game as a platform for some sort of announcement, preferably. I mean, we're in a kind of a time-space disagreement here, but as we listen to this now, has that announcement been made?
No, I'm afraid not. And I hope that people listening right now are clamoring right behind me in the suite as the game is happening in real time saying... You were wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm listening to Cats with a Dish in the third period.
Exactly.
If you're in the suite, it's like, you were wrong. Pass the Bud Light.
This really turned into an episode of Back to the Future.
It has, I know. But it is important, to put everything in the right
proper
time.
By the way, my hair looks good tonight.
It also looked good on Wednesday.
Red is such your color.
Exactly.
I don't think you had to cut it so short, but anyway.
Oh, never going to have it.
Billy, let me ask you this. A lot of people around town are interested in what happens to the Wranglers. You have a solid local family base, but they're also interested in what happens with professional sports in general in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And hockey's been mentioned as a type of a major league, the NHL, to come to Las Vegas. Now, we're looking at what's happening with the Wranglers here, and we're having a tough time keeping an ECHL team satisfied here. What's this say to our ability to pitch for an NHL team or an NBA team?
Well, I think it says a lot, and I say that with a great deal of caution to not sort of overstate what we mean to the town. But I do think it says a lot. I think what you find with us is that we play in an arena right now that's not neutral. They have their own gaming interests. They have their own competitiveness in the Valley. That's where the value of a publicly financed neutral facility comes in. Mm-hmm. So our economic impact really isn't spread amongst a ton of little businesses that prop up around us. It's mostly absorbed by one property. And that's going to be a big challenge with a major league team that might end up playing in a non-neutral situation. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's only basically a singular industry town. You need a lot of variety of industry and interests to make something like this go. I think it does say a lot on that.
Yeah, I think people who are really following this, the mayor's.
Yeah, this
Goodman.
Has been going on for forever that we've been trying to get, especially an NBA team, especially.
Yeah, NBA looked like it was the closest thing, but it's also had a reputation as being having a lot of potential as a NHL town. Uh-huh. Both mayors Goodman have said that this is on their top of their list, and Oscar Goodman has said that it was the only thing that he really felt like he failed at as a mayor was not getting a major league team here. I just can't help but think that this is not our best argument for landing a professional team here? There's this Wrangler situation.
Because of what's going on, for not having one or for having one?
To not have one.
Yeah.
I mean, we're trying to argue that we want to have an NHL team, in other words. And then, oh, by the way, we're having a tough time keeping an ECHL team.
I will tell you it's a problem. I'll try to shorten this sort of viewpoint on it as well, right? So let's say you have a major league team, and I'm saying this is an impossibility. I'm saying this is a major challenge. You have to have local participation. I don't know what the average ticket price is. Let's call it $50. All right, a family of four, mothers make the decisions on behalf of three other people, usually in a household. So I'm going to advertise to moms because they can buy four tickets. The NHL team is going to cost them $200. That's a car payment for most families, yeah. Right? Okay, so we'll call the town worth 2 million people, for example. It's a shift town. So let's take away 750,000 people right there who have to work second or third shifts. Then you have sort of a socioeconomic thing. Does hockey appeal to the right demographic? Let's eliminate that number of people. Let's eliminate the people who are busy with other competing things the next morning. Kids Little League, kids ballet practice, whatever that is. That 2 million population boils down to a very small number very, very quickly because this is a singular industry town.
And
they're
then,
not available to go to the games.
Uh-huh.
So now let me add this element. If you have this big building that's there and you need to sell 16,000 seats to locals that are not VIP, not seats dedicated to whales or whatever else, can what's left of that population generate $1.2 million, $1.5 million per game in local ticket money? I don't know. But you have to have a strategy to address it. And I don't know. I'm just guessing on the numbers.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's 2 million a game.
And
if
do you think tourists would do it or they would go to their hometown?
I as a guy who believes in hyper-local, I think any major league team whose primary marketing strategy is the strength of the visiting team has got a big challenge.
Yes.
Makes no sense.
In the days of the Oakland A's, when they were under Charlie O'Finley, there was a strategy at the end when they were ready to move to Denver. This is a long time ago, a generation ago. But their marketing strategy was, you can see the New York Yankees and you can see the Boston Red Sox. It's like in 1977, 78, 79 when the team looked like it was going to move out of town.
Yeah.
That was their last house on the block for marketing in the Oakland A's. And finally, they had new ownership come in and they righted that ship. But that team was about ready to
Well, someone who had my team taken from me, Cleveland Browns. Thank you. The late Art Modell. I empathize with any city that loses a team. And
especially
since Wranglers, they really are our team, our home team. They're in the 51s, they're all we have.
Yeah, well, thanks. And to be clear what I just said, I just want to be clear about it. I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm just saying these are the types of challenges.
You've outlined the challenges very well.
People have to think about those challenges.
And a challenge that I don't think we've also touched on is the unique quality of Las Vegas and the entertainment options that we have in this city already that are unique to that are not like Kansas City or Sacramento. There's a lot more entertainment going on.
That's right.
And look, my last quick question to you is, are ticket prices going to remain the same for the Wranglers if they stay here? Or are the costs of concessions going to remain the same? Is there going to be any difference for the fans coming in? Or are you going to have to raise them if you have a smaller facility?
That is a great question. That's probably the most tedious work I've done in the last week. We want things to remain as same as possible with the three options we're looking at. I've got three different business models. So, and then permutations based on offshoots of all of that. But we're trying to keep it as close to what it is.
Based on capacity,
so,
right?
Based on expenses and everything else.
Do you think I'm going to throw this out in the ballpark. Do you think in the next month we will have an announcement?
For sure.
In the next,
because
you only got a 2 week.
Wednesday.
I understand.
Well, there's only like a minute and a half left in the game right now.
Exactly.
So it goes into overtime.
You may have it. Yes, I know, but it has to be finalized by Wednesday, but that doesn't mean you're going to announce by then, right?
Well, we'll announce. We it's in our best interest to get this behind us.
So by Wednesday, we should have an announcement.
Yes, by Wednesday, I think we would have an announcement. The fans deserve it. The fans of this, they deserve to get this past them. And we deserve to sort of move on.
Well, we thank you, Billy Johnson, for all you've been doing.
As do the officials deserve that. Yeah, it's going to be, we're looking forward to that happening and whatever happens.
And go Wranglers, they're kicking butt tonight.
It's unbelievable. I just gave away tacos.
I know.
Another power play.
Kaz just hit the chuck-a-puck.
I did. All right, Billy Johnson, thanks for the time, and we'll see you soon, probably later in the third period. Thanks.